Welcome to Westmeath Libraries podcast. This morning we're celebrating local history and I'm talking to Ian Kennelly, the manager and producer with Pegasus Media, creators of the history show on RTE Radio 1. Morning Ian, how are you?
Hi Lorna, how are you?
Good, good. Can you just maybe start by telling us a little bit about yourself and how you found yourself as the previous historian in residence with Westmeath County Council?
Back in 2020, Westmeath County Council started, I think that was the first year that they had the Historian in Residence programme, and it was part of the wider decade of centenaries, running for the 1916 First World War, War of Independence, Civil War, and they put an ad out, and obviously I applied, and that was the first year I got it, and I previously was a historian, or subsequently was historian in residence in 2021, 22, and last year in 2023, and the latest round of the historian in residence programme came to an end last December.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit about your work in those periods?
Yeah, and there was a national programme to explore and commemorate and try and better understand the events of the decade of centenaries, and for the Westmeath County Council version, we were very much focused on Westmeath, but putting it in that wider national context. So we were looking 100 years previously, we were in the height of the War of Independence in Ireland, so we were looking at what happened in Westmeath politically, culturally, and in terms of the conflict itself, the battle between the Irish Republican Army and the British Crown Forces. So we looked at that in 2020, said big example, a big example of that conflict locally was the destruction by the Crown Forces of the offices of the Westmeath Independent in November 1920. That also was the Athlone Printworks at the time that employed about 100 people, but that newspaper, which also the Offaly Independent was printed out of that, out of those offices, as were numerous other papers. The Westmeath Independent was very critical of the of British rule in Ireland and the conduct of the British Crown Forces, say whether that was the police or whether that was the British Army. And as retaliation for that that coverage, it was attacked by a group called the Auxiliaries, which were a section of the police force. Was attacked in October, but the most serious attack happened in November, and that shut the newspaper down until 1922, so it was out of operation for well over a year, and that was a very egregious example of violence against the media, which was common during the War of Independence, but it happened right here in Athlone.
Yeah, and when you say you've researched it, is it available to the public in audio form, book form?
There's we, in partnership, say, back in 2020, in partnership with the Westmeath Independent, Westmeath County Council produced a 16-page supplement about the destruction, about the War of Independence generally in Westmeath, but focusing on the destruction of the Westmeath Independent. So that's still available online on the Westmeath Independent website. But that, like, this event was not only a big event in the town, but it was a big event. It was covered by newspapers around the world. It was a topic for discussion in the British House of Commons at the time. So we also did numerous articles on the Westmeath County Council blog, which is still running. That is well over 100 entries, well over 100,000 words
of
content.
It's a great resource,
It's a great resource. And not just myself now, there's multiple authors, including some of the people you've interviewed, like John Gibney, Greta Connell, who used to work with the council there, was and the library services.
Yeah.
There's many, many authors looking at different examples of the War of Independence in Westmeath. And just one story from our efforts, say, with regard to the destruction of the Westmeath Independent, a gentleman who saw our work on that topic had many primary documents in his possession related to that event, sworn affidavits from eyewitnesses and so on, and he came forward with that material and gave it to myself, and through me it went into the Westmeath Library Services, and it's now in the special collections in Mullingar Library.
Great. And what was your previous role before you were historian in residence?
Well, I've had many roles, but I suppose the biggest one, just previous to the historian in residence was I was manager or I was editor of a weekly magazine called The Revolution Papers, which was very popular, sold across its entire run, well over a million copies. But that covered, that ran for 2016 to 2018, and that covered, again, that was a decade of centenaries related stuff. Yeah. It covered the War of Independence, Civil War, First World War in Ireland, but also looking at international events. So, as I said, that was out every week, and that was a great success.
That period is obviously your main interest in history.
At the moment, my own work, say my PhD or books that I've published. I wrote a book in 2008 called The Paper Wall, which looked at the War of Independence and propaganda in the media. So that's a long time, it's not the only focus, but it's, and given the times we're in, the decade of centenaries, it's a natural focus for me.
And where did you study yourself, Ian?
Studied in UCC and in NUI Galway.
Very good. Yeah. And you obviously studied history for your
PhD.
Very good. Can you tell us a little bit about your role with the Pegasus Media and the Irish History Show?
The History Show has been running in RT for a good many years, presented by Miles Dungan. And Pegasus, you know, they do the History Show, but they've also done a series of road shows. Did some in Westmead, where they'll gather together experts or speakers on a particular topic. Say the one in Athlone was in the Sheraton in 2016, and it was about the War of Independence, and I spoke at it, and Miles Dungan spoke at it, and I think Gerard O'Brien might have spoken at that one as well. If not that one, other ones. I was involved in those road shows for many years, but I also work as a researcher for one of their other projects, which is the History Show. So I'll work with Miles Dungan and the producer Lorcan Clancy, and we'll discuss new books or new research or anything related to any aspect of Irish history.
And give it a bit of a plug, Ian. When's it on?
Well, the new season is starting in the 25th of February.
Very good.
So it's not only we produce the spring season, and it'll be on again then in the autumn. So we produce not only the History Show, but all sorts of, I'm producing another series that'll be out later in 2024 called Fake News and Irish Freedom. That's based on my own research and my thesis and so on. And it's about the War of Independence and the Civil War. And that's due to be presented by the journalist Flora McCarthy.
Oh, fantastic.
She's great. She's worked with... done a lot with the History Show over the years. So, and just before Christmas, we produced a show, or I produced it for Pegasus with Dermot Whelan, the comedian. So
I love Dermot Whelan.
we do a lot of different...
And what's that about?
That was just a looking back over, A Word in Your Year, it was called. It was just looking back at, it was a comedy show, but it was looking changing vernacular and words and what's become popular over the last year or so. Yeah, but history, we do shows like that, but history is the main focus.
And so I suppose you're a regular here in the library, that's how I guess know you.
Over the years, the library here has been great, even before I was doing the historian in residence. Yeah. I'd often, when Garrod was here, for example, but now I'd come in and meet you. And the facilities themselves are really modern. Obviously, it's a new building, and same in Mullingar, relatively new. So it's comfortable, but it also the wealth of material that we have here. I suppose there's one particular example. Like, I'd always come in here for, over the years, for bits and pieces about Athlone history.
Yeah.
But in the last few years, through the Historian in Residence programme, I was tasked with producing an exhibition about a guy called Charles Howard Bury, who owned Belvedere House near Mullingar, famous, tourist attraction these days. But he, in 1921, he had led the first official expedition to Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Now, they weren't trying to climb the mountain, but to reach the summit, but they were trying to find a possible route. It was called a reconnaissance mission. So in honour of the 100th anniversary of that, we created an exhibition. And as part of that exhibition, I got access to the Charles Howard Bury papers that joined Mullingar, and among those papers were well over 1,000 photographs that had never been digitised.
Oh, wow.
So with Melanie McQuaid, the heritage officer, we got those digitised, and I've put up information on the website and elsewhere, and that's drawn the attention from researchers from all over the world. I'm helping a British academic at the moment who's going through those.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so that's the, you know, there's material in there here in Athlone and in Mullingar that, you know, it's extraordinary and it's kind of...
And sometimes it's only when somebody else from outside of the service comes in, they might see stuff we don't see, or they see the importance of stuff we might...
Might realise how you think, because sometimes local is seen in a kind of a negative sense.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And then some guy will come in from abroad. Like, we shouldn't have to have some... That happens,
yeah,
right?
I know,
somebody
that
will come
is
in
the
and
truth.
Say,
wow,
this is amazing. It's got international significance. And everybody all of a sudden is like, wow!
We've had this for years.
But in fairness now to the council and the library services in particular, they were very proactive in... Because they came up with the idea of commemorating this exhibition to Mount Everest and the Mullingar link to that. Because offhand, you're not going to think there's any link between Mullingar and a mountain in Tibet or Nepal.
Yeah.
And that the incredible story behind that. Because, I mean, one of the offshoots of that story was that... it was a huge event at the time in terms of newspaper coverage. You could look at British newspapers, American, French, and they're all following the Howard Bury as he went up as that expedition and that team progressed and their journey through Tibet and up the slopes of Mount Everest. And they were sending back reports from Mount Everest as they travelled.
Okay.
And one of those... Howard Bury said that they noticed weird footprints in the snow.
Okay.
And that story took on a life of its own, basically.
Yeah.
And what happened was it sparked this kind of myth of the abominable snowman.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's where the phrase, it was journalists covering that story, was the first person to effectively come up with the phrase.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that.
And that's another link you wouldn't, you know, in Tibetan culture and Nepal and those countries. Yeti and is part of their culture, and that those stories go back a long, long time.
Yeah.
But this was kind of its introduction to the to Europe and America through Charles Howard Bury. And there's there's all these
that.
Links.
We're all learning something today.
You don't think of Mullingar and the Yeti in the same sentence, but
amazing. Yeah. And is there anything else you can think of that you might have used or come across over the years that struck a chord with you? Any
Well, it's
putting you on the spot now.
Not so much. A lot of it is not only the papers, but there's books in here that have been written. A guy, Liam Cox, I think, was his name. The book he'd written about Maud, I couldn't get at anywhere, but it's in here. And
his daughter actually taught me in school. She was the same. She was wonderful. She just had a great way about her. She had such an interesting history.
Yeah, and that's a great book.
Oh, it's fantastic.
You know, I've quoted it multiple times.
Yeah.
It would point you in directions that you didn't realise.
Absolutely.
And he'd done great research. So there's loads of books like that from around...
And little bits in all of the, even in the small libraries.
Yeah.
There's little collections.
In
Morton,
There's and, you know, they're vital.
Absolutely.
If you're trying to research, because when you're researching, you're obviously building on the work that previous people and previous generations, but if you can't get access to it, it's like it never existed. But because of that loan and the other libraries,
but also
it's
so important to have people like yourself, when you were in your role as historian in residence, kind of bringing history to life and bringing it to everybody. So it's not... just for academics, or it's not just for people in college.
We got through the historian residence, people would come contact me and they'd say, look, I have these photos.
Yeah.
And I mightn't recognise, but they'd be able to tell me,
yes,
this was taken here in Westmead, it was 1919, and this is Tom and Mary.
It's amazing, isn't
and
it?
And it's amazing, and we can add that to the story.
And there are little
knowledge.
Gems in every house, I suppose, that people don't even realise exist. Yeah.
There was one woman contacted me about her mother who died relatively young, unfortunately, the mother did, but she'd been in Cumannamon in the Tang area, and there's all those kind of stories.
Yeah.
And
for
otherwise,
years they weren't recorded, I suppose, anywhere.
And people didn't know maybe where to go with the.
Yeah.
But so we played a small part, I hope, anyway, bringing some of that material together making sure that others can have access to it in the future.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, Ian. Keep us posted, won't you?
I will indeed.
Future projects that are coming up.
This is Past Perspectives, a Westmeath Libraries podcast.